You started out 2016 in a good way in the Lord's house. Amen. Let me encourage you. Well, turn over all the way over to Genesis chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But let me encourage you. Let's try something new for many of you. You're all about new things. Oh, this is going to be a tough crowd this morning. New thing. Are you all about good new things? Okay. Here's a good new thing for many of you. Okay? Come to church tonight. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Did you know at 6 o'clock we have worship services on Sunday evening? Great way to spend Sunday evening. It's an hour, okay? We'll be out by 7. We just sing praise and we get into the Word of God. And we come here, we get down to business, and then we, after we've done business with God, we leave, right? Won't take all night, but it's good to honor God throughout the day, okay? And so remember that. Come a little bit before 6 o'clock tonight. Ease on over to church and let's do the night church. Start out the year in a dedicated manner, serving the Lord, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? That's not it. There it is, all right. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I know in the bulletin, it says 1 through about 8, and up here it says 1 through 8. We're only going to do the first two verses, but the good news is we're going to cover the entire chapter, okay? Now, I'm going to trust that you can read the entire chapter later this afternoon, right? Well, we're only going to start with the first two verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. All right, as you may have guessed by now, today we're going to begin 2016 with the beginning. And I know this is scriptures that you've heard over and over and over and read over and over and over. And the thought might come to mind for some people. Yeah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know all that. You know, you may think, well, what does it really matter? Don't we have more important issues to talk about? Issues like drugs, alcoholism, disease, abortion, gangs, homosexuality, pornography, and the list goes on and on. And you know, why don't we deal with these problems, Brother Doug? Well, the reason that we're going to Genesis chapter 1:1 is because the real problem is not drugs and abortion and all the other things. That's just symptoms of a disease. Okay? The real problem centers around the question. Are you ready for the question? Is God real? Is there really a God? And I want you to know how important this question is from this example. In the United States of America, we have the Great Continental Divide. I always thought it was cool to cross. I don't know why. I just thought it was so cool. The older you get, the less cool things seem to be really cool, I guess. But been out west and crossed that continental divide. It just made me feel kind of special to cross the continental divide like I'd done something. But that continental divide, if it rains, you know, it determines the direction of the water flow, the flow of the rivers and the streams. If the rivers or if the rain falls on the west side, the rivers will carry the rain and flow out to the Pacific Ocean. If rain falls on the east side, anything east of that continental divide, the rivers get it and they flow it out to the Atlantic Ocean. And once it starts its flow, there's no changing in that direction. Genesis chapter 1 is the continental divide, spiritually speaking. It's where we decide who God is. If it is not true, then there is no hope. Life is useless. You're a cosmic accident. When you die, you're dead. But if Genesis 1 is correct, then there is a creator to this universe. Then you will give answer to that creator. Then there is a purpose and a life after death. And whichever way you flow will determine what you do with Genesis chapter 1. And we start with the creator. The creator. And we all know that is, of course, God. But I want you to look at God as the authority here. In Genesis, the word Genesis means, of course, beginning. And this first chapter is one of the most God-centered chapters in the entire Bible. Really? Yeah. Did you know the word God or Elohim is used 31 times? I'm sorry, 32 times in 31 verses. 32 times. And if you... if you factor in the personal pronouns, God is mentioned 43 times. But what's really interesting is God never argues His existence. He never builds a case for I'm God, because He just says in the beginning there was God. And as such, I'm not going to argue the case of is God real, or try to prove to you that there is a God. My personal opinion is, if you want to know if there's a God, just look around. The creation declares the glory of God. Everything has a creator. And the creator of this earth, of all you see around you, look at the person next to you. Aren't they pretty? No amens. Wow. God created that person next to you. And I want you to understand how important it is to get this in your mind, because as the creator, there is none other. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." And look at this. "I am the Lord, and what? There is no other." If you don't get this part, that God created, there is no other credible explanation. There is no other hope. There's no other point to life. God is either God or there's nothing. Not only is there a creator, there's a purpose. It says, Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and what? For Him." Let's do that again. "All things were created through Him and for Him." This life's not about you. It's not about me. Everything was created for the purpose of glorifying God. There's your purpose. There's your creator. Now, see, once you get this in your mind and you understand the authority, you begin to see, okay, since God made it, since it's created for Him, He has the right to tell me how to live my life. And that's the problem that many people have with acknowledging God as the creator. Nobody can tell me what to do. Well, if you're owned and created, created and owned, yes, God does have the right to tell you what to do. So there is an attack, a massive attack on this authority of God. And it's no wonder there is an attack. If Satan can discredit Genesis chapter 1, the rest of the Bible is useless. If you do not come to grips with the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, don't go past Genesis chapter 1. You'll do absolutely no good. Yeah. If Genesis chapter 1 can't be trusted, the rest of the Bible can't be trusted. And I've heard people say, make the comment, you know, well, yeah, I don't really think Genesis chapter 1 is accurate, or it's symbolic, or no. Genesis chapter 1 means what it says. It says what it means. And either you accept it as the Word of God or you don't. But if you don't, the rest of the Bible is useless to you. Why? Because if Genesis chapter 1 is not right, there is no purpose and no point to life. That's the attack that Satan has made upon the Word of God and the Creator of the universe. Now let's talk about some creation facts, okay, about our great God. Fact number one, in the beginning, God, I want you to understand, as we read the first two verses, it says, in the beginning, God, this is not the beginning of God, this is the beginning of man. Okay? Did you get that? God did not begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Man began here, or the history of the earth and the universe began here. Well, Brother Doug, in that case, where did God come from? Yes! Makes sense, right? Yes! God's always been here. See, I want you to understand, before we go any farther, I want you to understand about God. God is not limited nor restricted by time. Did you know time, and listen, I'm trying to preach this to you, and this is something I can't hardly get my mind around, let alone, you know, share with you. However, as you read, on the first day God created light, evening and morning were the first day. He set time in motion. Before He set time in motion, there was God, an eternal God. The clock started ticking for the benefit of God, or for the benefit of man, not for the restriction of God. you may say, well, Brother Doug, I just, that's why I'm an evolution guy, because I can't believe that God has always been. Really? If you're an evolution guy, because you can't believe that God has always been, I want to give you the two options, okay? If you're an evolution guy, you believe somewhere along the way there was a single-celled organism that developed and evolved into what we are today. But I want you to go back to that single-celled organism. Where did it come from? Well, Brother Doug, it's always been. There's always been a single, you know, cells out in the universe. Really? Okay, I say that there is an intelligent God, a creator of this universe, one who said, let there be, and there was, and He designed and deliberately set things into motion, and I say that this God is such a God that time has no effect. He's always been. That's why He calls Himself the I Am. That's where my faith is and your faith is. Well, there's a single cell organism that's always been. Yeah, I like mine better. You know, and listen, I mean, you know, think. Fact number one, in the beginning there was God. Fact number two, God created. Really neat Hebrew word, bara. And just taking a shot at the pronunciation there because I don't speak Hebrew. But that word created, bara, is a special word in that it's used 42 times in the Old Testament. And it always refers to the creation or to a creation that only God can do. You see, man can form stuff, but he can't create things. All right? He can take wood and make a desk. But man can't take nothing and make something. You see, that's what we're talking about with God here. Man, it's interesting. I find it funny. You just back up and think about God creating the universe. And scientists and evolutionists, I'm not going to put all scientists into the same category because they're not. There are Christian scientists today and wonderful people. However, I want you to understand science, because there are those that would say, well, you know, Brother Doug, there has to be a scientific explanation other than God just created. Well, listen, I want to share with you about science. Science is a wonderful thing. But science is concerned with how things work according to the laws of the universe. It is not based upon, nor is it designed to determine how things began. It only measures things according to the laws that govern. Okay? Example, true science has a pattern to measure by. All right? But when we're talking about creation and you're saying there has to be a scientific explanation, and the scientific explanation that you have is 4 billion years ago or 100 billion years ago, this single cell, or you have no pattern. You have no scientific pattern or guideline by which to measure. As a matter of fact, you know, and we there are those who believe it, and I just can't help but smile when I see 400 billion years ago how this earth was formed, or animals were here and they find artifacts that were billions of years old. What do you use to measure the billions of years? I mean, I can look at you and I may not come within 2 or 3 years, but I can guess pretty close how old you are. Right? Why? Because there's a standard, right? Well, Brother Doug, carbon dating, we all know carbon dating is wrong. Scientists know it's wrong. Oh, wait. Okay, I'm gonna leave that one, okay? I said I wasn't going to try to prove, and I'm not. I just want you to understand that it either came from God or you have nothing. You have nothing in this life to have hope for. There is no purpose. Number one, fact number one, in the beginning there was God. Fact number two, God created everything that you see. And fact number three, the earth was without form and void. And here's another good part, okay? It kind of throws you a curve, and I'm not going to say I completely understand this, that in the verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and in verse 2 it says the earth was without form and void. Now, I do not understand everything I know about verse 2. I know that when it says the earth had no shape, or it was without form, it meant it had no shape. The word void means empty. See, right here is where a lot of people insert the gap theory some years ago, trying to answer the billions of year question that our scientist was trying to put forth. We came up with the gap theory. Then the gap theory says that Satan fell from heaven. Isaiah talks about that, and when he fell from heaven, he struck the earth. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven as a lightning bolt to the earth." Okay, we all know how that goes. And what they say is, in between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 is when the fall of Satan happened. And Satan struck the earth when he was cast out of heaven, and it destroyed the creation that God created in Genesis chapter 1. Have you ever heard that? I don't know. It sounds good. But it's a pretty big theory. Okay? I'm more of the 6,000 year guy. I think God put it together, and we're about 6,000 years later. Okay? And the most important thing, what I want you to get at this point, is how awesome our God is. He's awesome because He's always been here. He's awesome because He created everything. He's awesome by the way He created everything. Now we're going to go to creation begins. Here's what I want. Okay. God spoke in verse 3. God said, "Let there be light." Here's the awesome God that we serve. "Let there be light." And you know what? There was light. There was light. What's really cool about this is the sun, moon, and stars hadn't been invented yet. Isn't that neat? Oh, come on. Come on. I'm talking about, here's God, the director of the universe, and He says, "Let there be light," and there was light.
just like that, because he spoke it. This is the awesomeness of our God. No sun, no moon, no stars, no Entergy company. God spoke it. This was the first day. This was the day that time began. It says evening and morning were the first day. You ever wonder why the Jewish calendar, the day starts in the evening? Here you go. Or did you know that? You know, the Jewish day starts in the evening. Okay? I want you to realize the awesomeness of God as He speaks light into existence. I want you to realize the awesomeness is God of God as He spoke, let there be a firmament, and the clouds were hung in the sky. God raised the clouds. Do you know? Do you realize what that? How astounding that is? The amount of water vapor that's continually suspended in the air is estimated at, I got this off the internet, so it's got to be right. Okay? It's estimated at 54,460,000,000,000 tons of water. Okay, after God said, let there be light, God spoke again and He lifted 54,460,000,000,000 tons of water into the air and suspended it in the atmosphere. Is that not a big God? Do you see the awesome? And it stays there. It stays there. God looked at it after the first day and He said, this is good. After the second day, as he raised the clouds and divided the firmament, He said, this is good. On the third day, He raised the continents. Imagine if you would, and if the great cataclysmic eruption as God said, let the dry land appear, and the dry land just comes bellowing up out of the earth, out of the water. As the mountains were formed and the crevices, the depths of the sea are formed, and the water just all of a sudden rushes into those depths of the sea. You want to know, you know, and scientists say, this canyon was formed by billions of years of water erosion. I want to tell you what, when God did this, the water eroded in a hurry. Okay? This in billions of years. It occurred in one day. All right? I find this so cool that this is the God that we serve. God raised the continents, and He didn't just stop right there. He said, let there be grass and herbs and trees. And you know what happened? The grass and herbs and trees rose up from the dry ground. And I'm not talking about growing like we watch them grow today. How many gardeners do we have? Raise your hand. You raise a garden? All right, the rest of us are too lazy to garden. That's okay. You know what I've figured out about it? It's really cool to go out one day, plant, go out another day, and you look and see nothing's there. Go out the next day, and, you know, and over the course of time and over the course of hoeing and plowing the garden, and you go through all that. And over the course of time, 2 or 3 months, you get the plant and the fruit starts to hang. And it's really cool to watch. But I want you to see what God did when He raised the land and created the mountains and the continents. And which, by the way, the continents were all one mass of land. You knew that, right? Okay? Continents, it wasn't broke up like it is now. That wasn't until the days of Peleg. Okay, a little later on. But anyway, the land rises up out of the sea of water. And God said, let there be herbs and trees and grass. And it just began to spring up out of the earth. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? As I considered it, I thought, wow. And it wasn't just a few things. Did you know there are 100,000 or more than 100,000 known species of plant life on the globe? And God said, let the plants grow. And here it all came. Now that's a God. That's a God. Day 4, God spoke again. And he made two great lights. I think it's at this point. Well, actually, that's the last point that we got off the outline in the bulletin. But anyway, we're going to keep going. I knew if I put the whole outline in the bulletin that you'd probably look at it this morning and leave before preaching. So I caught you. I've got you here. I'm going to give it all, right? Day four. God spoke and made two great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon to rule over the night. That's really cool. First day created light. Day four, they've had evening and morning and day and dark for 3 days without the sun, moon, and stars. You know, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a sun. There's not going to be a moon. For Jesus will be the light. Isn't that cool? God made two great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night. He made a sun that was so large that it would take 96,000 Earths. If you hollowed out the sun and we're going to fill it with the with Earth, it would take 960,000 Earths to put inside that sun. This is my God. Okay? This is my God that when He created the great light to rule over the day, lit the fire that today burns 15 trillion degrees Celsius. I have no idea how hot that is, but it's hot. I can't even think in trillion, okay? This is my God. This is my God who created the stars. Get this. Do you know how many stars are in our solar system? One. Got that off the internet too. I thought that was really cool. One star in our solar system. One star. What is it? The sun. Now there are other planets and such, but they're one stars. But how many stars are in the galaxy? Somewhere between 100 billion to 1 trillion stars in the galaxy. How many, this is where it gets really interesting. How many galaxies are there in the universe? Somewhere between 100 billion galaxies and 1 trillion galaxies. How much is that? We passed Doug Hambrick's ability to fathom these numbers about 10 minutes ago. But I want to tell you, my God created them. You know how He did? I love the way we're talking about stars. He said in verse 16. Well, let's read that whole verse. Then God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night. And He made the stars also. Here's a detailed account of how He did it. I love this. Trillions of stars, trillions of universe, or of galaxies in the universe, and He uses five words to describe it. And He made the stars also. What a God. What a God. And every day He gets to the end of that day, and you know what He says? Oh, this is good. This is good. Day five, He spoke. And the sea was filled with fish, and the sky was filled with birds and fowl. I can't imagine the number of species of fish that are in the sea. It's funny. I went fishing in the Gulf of Mexico one time. I was down there in the military, and I decided I'm going to go fishing. I'm a country boy. I go down there, and I caught a fish. And listen, I don't scare easy. But I pulled this fish up, and it was the ugliest fish I have ever seen in my life. And I refused to touch that thing. You know, I'm used to crappie and catfish. Not this weird looking white on one side, dark and ugly on the other. I just cut him. I wasn't going to touch him. The guy, when I got back to the dock, said, "You've lost your mind. That's the best fish you'll ever catch." And maybe so, but I wasn't going to touch him. But God, every ugly fish, every beautiful fish, He created them all. That's the God we serve. In day six, God created the living creatures.
He created every insect, every reptile, every mammal. And then He created man. And I want you to know how special you are. Okay? When it came down to creating man, God said, "Let us make man in our image." He didn't do that with anything else He created. None of the insects, none of the reptiles, none of the monkeys, none of the, you know. But He got to man, said, "Let us make man in our image." You want to know how I know that I didn't come from a monkey? Because God's not a monkey, and I was made in the image of God. Okay. "Let us make man in our image." Then He crowned man with prosperity when He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He crowned man with position when he said, "Have domination over every living thing." And listen, to the PETA guys, we're not an animal. Okay? We're not the same as a dog. We're not the same as a cat. Dogs and cats are wonderful. Animals are wonderful. I don't think we need to abuse any of them. But I want you to understand, human life is head and shoulders above the life of an animal. Okay? Because God created us in His image. Got the end of the 6 days. Said, "It's good." Then day seven come and it says God rested. Ah, Brother Doug, there you go. If your God was truly God, He wouldn't have to rest, right? Well, you got to understand the Hebrew word rested is Shabbat. It actually means to cease from labor. God did not rest because He was tired. He rested or He ceased His labor because He was done. Oh, isn't that cool? As God looks, backs up and says, "This is good." I'm reminded today, you know, we talk about how bad things are, and truly mankind, we have messed up what God has created. But I still want you to understand God is still in control and He is still good. And man is still worthy to hear the gospel message of salvation. Listen, my friends. I want you to understand. I want you to get this out of the message today. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. As I read this and I began with the opening statement, yeah, God created, big deal. You know, now back up and look. If you're a child of God, you've read this 100 times. But have you ever stopped and thought, wow, be amazed by God. God's said, that phrase "God said" or "God spoke" is used 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. And every time God spoke it, the universe bowed down to His command. And it happened. Listen, my friends, you'll base your life on one of two beliefs. Belief number one, there is no God. There is no God. There is no God. If this is the direction you're going to flow, I want you to understand this. There's no purpose for your life. You're an accident of the universe. What you do does not matter. There is no right and wrong. You live and you die, and you're of no value. See, when you take God out, that's what you're left with. There is none other. But then there's belief number two. God created. God created. And as the Creator, He owns you because He made you. You were fearfully, wonderfully made. You were created for a purpose, and that purpose was to give God the glory. There is a reason that you're here. I know. I know that this world, Young people, kids, get this, okay? Get this. If you're a kid, I want you to understand something. You are special because God made you. And I know you'll face people today and your peers, you know, who will make fun of you because your faith and tell you how silly you are. But I want you to understand, God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son because we messed up God's creation. We're going to get into Genesis chapter 3 a little later on, not today. But you know the fall of man, how that we sinned, how that Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, sin is passed down to all. Oh, but listen, God, not only did God create the earth and the universe and people, but God created a plan for man who would mess up God's creation. And that plan of salvation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I want to ask you to do this. Get this one thing from the message. Decide which direction you're going to go. Okay? Either God's God or He's not. If God is God, number one, you need to be saved. Okay? You need to come to a saving knowledge of God. You do that through Jesus Christ our Lord. If He's not, I don't know what to tell you. I've got nothing. Because quite frankly, if that's the route you're going to go, you have nothing. You say, Brother Doug, what if you're wrong? You're asking the wrong question the wrong way. You need to think, Brother Doug, what if you're right? You see, I'm convinced I'm right. But let's say I'm wrong. I hadn't lost a thing. Okay? Just for the sake of your argument, I haven't lost a thing. Like I said, I'm convinced I'm right. How do I know? Because creation declares the glory of God. I know that there was a Jesus who came to this earth to give His life for my sin so that I could have eternal life. And I know that one day I'll stand before Him and give account of this life. And you know what my plea will be? To get into heaven? Not the good works that I've done, because I'm as bad as anybody here, biggest sinner as anybody here. But my plea to get into heaven is Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. Listen, friends, decide which direction you're going to go today. And if God's God, make Him God. Make Him the center of your life. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Wow, Lord, we just consider Your creation and we back up and we say, wow, what an awesome God we serve. Now, Lord, we just pray that You would freely move among us today. That Your will be done in this invitation. That, Lord, You would convict of sin. That, Lord, help us today just to establish which way we're going. Lord, we know that You are God. I know that You are God. And I lay this message, this service at Your feet and pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name.